Hello, everyone.
What's going on, Ted?
Thanks for coming. We've got a bigger crowd up back there than up here. That's interesting. Anyway, first of all, I want to thank some people, and I try to do this every year, but what needs to be known by everyone out there in the Packer land is that it takes an extraordinary number of people to put together the working mechanism of a draft. We have everybody in our personnel department, you know, they just have endless hours where they're spending in a dark room, oftentimes away from their families, either up here or on the road. The entire company, for that matter, the entire company, and that is the Green Bay Packers, contributes to the draft itself. Everybody here, and it doesn't matter who, where you work in this building or in this stadium, you would contribute to the Packers' effort to try to do a good draft and pick good players. I'm very lucky to have this group of people, and I don't say it enough, but I wanted to make sure I covered that a little bit. We spend a lot of time in the dark, and sometimes that's beneficial, and sometimes it's not. I was in a restaurant the other night, and a sweet little old lady, or little lady, she wasn't necessarily old, came up to me, and she said, completely excited, she said, "You look so much better in person than you do on television." And I didn't know how to take that, you know. What's the playoff there? So anyway, we spend a lot of time in the dark. It doesn't make us weird. And we're looking forward to the draft. I know you're looking forward to asking some questions. I wanted to bring up one thing. A.J. Hawk announcing his retirement. And we'll be able to do that as a Green Bay Packer. And I know he'll be talking to you guys later today or tomorrow or sometime. But from my part, I just wanted to pitch in my thank yous to him. He was one of our first guys and turned out pretty good. So with that, I'm ready to take questions. I don't know how many answers I have, but we'll take questions.
So obviously you've been working on this for months now. So what's left to do during this last week? Are you guys pretty well set, or what's left?
A lot of it is, walking the same steps over and over, checking this, checking that. All of a sudden, I'll get an idea about a particular player, and we'll run to the draft room and watch it, and it turns out to be the same player that we'd watched 3 months ago. So there's a lot of that, but there's also, I think, great value, certainly to me, to have a certainty and a surety of, you know, having done our work. And like I said, with the staff that the Packers have given to me to help run the draft, there's a lot of confidence in terms of our evaluations.
Flexibility trading compensatory picks will give you next week?
Well, it's no different than trading regular picks. I guess the whole point of the question is, this time last year you could use the pick to draft somebody, but you couldn't move if you decided you wanted to make a trade. So in that regard, it is helpful. Yeah, it's better to have that option than not having.
Ted, if you go back to the draft last year and just how the first round unfolded for you, there were quite a few defensive players that I would assume that you had on your board at that time. What do you remember thinking about that and why you guys went with Kenny?
I don't know that I can focus in 360 days away, especially during a particular draft. But decisions like that are not made during the draft normally. There's been a couple in my lifetime where it went boom, something changed, and all of a sudden I had to make a decision, and it was boom, we do that. Most of the time it's you sit there, you kind of know who you want to take, and everything falls the way it's supposed to fall, and you wind up taking it. It doesn't necessarily mean that your thought process was correct, but it just means that you never wavered. I mean, you were going to try to take this particular player and hope for the best.
You have used a lot of high picks over the last few years on defensive guys. Where do you feel like your defense stands at this point going into this draft?
We feel pretty good about our roster as a whole. From a number standpoint, we're going to have to increase and add some players, but we're hopeful to do that during this process and through the rest of the process in the spring and the summer.
Ted, when you pick late in the first round, as you have many years, how much stress goes into hoping a guy that you think you might get is still on the board, and how often does it actually go according to plan?
I don't know. It falls that way sometimes, like I said earlier. But we don't try to waste a whole lot of time. There's not much I can do. Where are we picking, 29? Is that right? 29? You're picking 29th. I mean, we kind of, once you get to that day and you're into the draft itself, there's somebody picking at 2. And now we got to watch all those names come off the board. So you can't get too cracked up about it.
Ted, it probably varies from year to year, but
I'm sorry.
Probably varies from year to year, but how much do the medical rechecks end up shuffling your board when those take place in every pre-draft process?
Well, any sort of medical exam, that sort of thing, whether it come from the combine or whether it come from us or whatever, that's an integral part of the process. It's not the whole answer; it's a part of the answer. And that's the way we take it.
You know, thinking back to when you drafted Clay, there's other guys in this draft that kind of fit this. But how big of a deal is DNA in a player where, you know, maybe it's his dad, in Clay's case, his dad played. Those other guys who, you know, whose brothers have played, or, you know, former guys whose dad played in the NBA. How much of a deep emphasis do you put on, or is none of that stuff even matter to you?
I think that happens from time to time. During the process, maybe 2 weeks ago, a week from tomorrow, whatever, it might, you know, make you feel better. But at the end of the day, we try to see, you know, is Clay Matthews a good football player, and can he help our team, and is he the kind of person we'd like to add to our team? I think those are the questions we wind up asking.
Is it hard to put that stuff on the back burner, so to speak?
No, because it's not a negative. It's, you know, it's a contributory part of the equation. It's just that I don't normally sit around, especially on draft day itself, thinking about it. I will have already calculated that in my mind leading up to the days of the draft, but I don't think you do it on the draft day itself. I was just hoping to be able to draft him.
With the amount of time that you and your staff put into looking at guys that might be undrafted or the priority free agents, what do you think you've gotten out of that approach over the years, dedicating that as much time and resources as you do to those players?
Well, we spend a lot of time on it, and we make no bones about it. We're active in the preparation part of it, and we're active in trying to execute it, you know, once the draft is over with. So it's part of the deal. I don't know whether you say it's more important than anything else, but you can look at our roster and see that we got players from that, and they're still here.
How busy is that post-draft segment there as you're signing all those undrafted guys for you? How hectic, how busy?
It's kind of chaotic, you know, because it's every man for himself, you know, in that thing. So, but it's part of the process. We're used to it. We've got a really good staff of scouts and personnel people upstairs, and they're not only good evaluators, but they're good at other aspects of of this game, so we try to do it that way.
Do you make sure that the potential signees know your history of giving a chance to play to undrafted guys and the pedigree of Packers that have done that?
We very much push the notion that if you come here, you'll have, historically speaking, you'll have a pretty good chance of making a team, making a practice squad, making something that you can ply your trade.
Ted, Mike's been with you for a lot of these drafts at your side. How much more involved has he gotten? How much more do you rely on him as his, you know, experience as a coach is, you know, one of the top tenured guys in the league?
Yeah. I don't know if it's any more or any less. It's always been the same. We've always conducted it like a partnership.
Hey, Ted, going back to AJ for 1 second, when you look back on him, what do you remember the most, you know, just about him and his time that he had with you guys here?
AJ Hawk, most of you guys know him. For those of you that don't, he's very understated person. But also, you know, very keen, very smart, very on the ball. He went to obviously a high-profile university, and it was a little bit easier for him to make that adjustment coming here than a lot of people, just because of the pressure that's innate there in Columbus. But he was, you know, everything you'd hope for in a person, as a person, as a player. And we appreciate everything he did for us.
Is that something that you look at with guys if they come from a high-profile university? Does that, you know, make your fears that they could handle the pressure a little less?
Maybe. And quite frankly, this draft is so excruciatingly painful, not this one, but all drafts, that if you want to make yourself feel better, you tell yourself that story. That it's better to pick this guy because he went to a big school and it'll work out better. But it may be just the opposite, where you pick a guy from a smaller school and you have to talk yourself into the fact that this guy is way better than the guy from the big school. So whatever makes me feel good at the time, that's the stance we normally take.
Still have to balance.
And hope for the best.
You still have to balance level of competition versus pure athleticism,
sure,
of those prospects.
Sure.
How does that sort itself out?
Well, it just does. But yes, you could. We're on Ohio State now. It could be a number of schools, obviously. But someone who's played extensively at a school like that has been under the lights in pressure situations, doing the off-season training, doing all the things that professional football players do. So there's a comfort level in saying, well, he's used to some of this stuff. If you take someone from a smaller school, there might be that quinge or twinge in the back of your mind saying, you know, is he ready for the NFL? But quite frankly, most of the people that are eligible to be drafted and are legitimate draft choice candidates have agents that help get themselves ready. They have football departments back at their universities that help get themselves ready. So I don't think it's quite as big a jump as it used to be. I think once upon a time, maybe, but when there were 17 rounds and I didn't get drafted. Just had to throw that in.
You know, when you have a player, a prospect who's maybe going from defense to offense or linebacker to safety or whatever, how much do you weigh that kind of stuff? Is it a positive of that? Maybe there's some room for growth there, or is it negative because of lack of experience? How do you view that?
Defense to offense?
Well, I mean, whether it's defense to offense or corner to safety or, you know, whatever position change you can think
to
of.
To do a change in position. Yeah. Well, normally, and it doesn't happen like this all the time, but normally there have been at least conversations with your coaches and the player in question about, you know, what do you think about playing a different position or that sort of thing.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misstated. I mean, you know, say he spent his first 2 years at college playing on offense, then his next 2 years he went to defense or corner safety. So he's got some experience in college at the position.
Okay.
Is that a is that a positive because maybe there's some room for growth there, or is it a negative because, you know, there's just not a lot of experience? How do you view that?
I don't know. I think it's about like the other question in that you kind of grab on to what makes you feel good. But, you know, more experience is good, but at the same time, sometimes it's like you say, the player in question doesn't have a lot of experience, but he turns out to be a long-time Pro Bowler or something like that.
If we can go back to your answer earlier about how you said, you know, most of the time you've identified a player, and if it all works out, then you end up taking that guy. How many times did it come to your pick and you just, it was a spur-of-the-moment decision where, you know, in those 10 or 15 minutes that you actually had to make those decisions?
Well, because most of the time there's one particular name that you're thinking about. Sometimes there could be three. Normally there's not too many more than that, but and then you have to make a decision, sure.
Does that happen very often?
It does. It certainly does the longer you go in the draft. You know, I think probably earlier in the draft there may be fewer options.
It seems like every year there's a handful of players who enter the draft with some sort of off-field problems that took place in college. How do you guys handle looking into that stuff, and whose job is it to look into those matters before the draft?
We all do quite a bit of that. It's important. We care very much about the quality of the people, and we think the better the person, the better the football player. We try to look at it like that. So, and I'm not suggesting we're perfect by any measure, but we look into that sort of thing, and we try to be careful.
On draft week, what is one thing you think the public, the fans, pay too much attention to, and then one thing they pay too little attention to?
About the draft?
Yeah.
Probably the draft itself. So, I'm just kidding. Watch it. It's a long time, and I think the TV's done a great job of making it exciting, and a lot of people watch it, and I'm all for it and everything like that, but I don't know, maybe something else to do on Saturday. Because if you're still watching it on Saturday, you're probably watching maybe, I can't say that. I started down the wrong path. It's a good time, you know. Let's just leave it at that.
Ted, next Thursday? What's that like for you guys? I mean, what do you do during the day? We talk to players all the time about when they have a night game, you know, they're just trying to, like, kill the day. They're anxious to get to the stadium and get things going. What's it like for you guys? What do you do leading up to 7 o'clock on Thursday when it finally gets started?
A lot of waiting. Most of the time there are people around the league or associated with the league that will start to spread rumors so that somebody was in a car wreck the night before or something like that. And so you're chasing down rumors and things. None of it, which is usually true.
Two more, please.
How big a deal are combine numbers and pro day numbers and all those workout things?
It's part of the equation. None of it is decision-making stuff on its own. But if you break it down and say, take it as part of the equation, then it's looked at. We're aware of it.
One more thing on trades, Ted. Are you already in the process of contemplating potential moves based on how you see the board in rounds 3 or 4, or do those come up pretty much as the draft arrives?
They do come up at the, you know, that's when you really get into it. But there are different scenarios that every team in the league works out in their minds about, you know, what if we did something with this second round pick or this fourth round pick or this whatever. But then you start really thinking about it, and If you're talking about a fourth round pick, you're talking about something that happens like 48 hours after the whole thing starts. So there's time where you can catch up.
There's only a few times each year where you have the full scouting staff together and can talk about things. I know the majority of the focus is, of course, on the draft, but are there other things you try and accomplish when you do have everybody together for one of those rare occasions?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think the rest of our group does, too, just because everybody's here and everybody's focused and we're all doing it. But it's also a chance to, even in this last week, work on our craft and all of us, even myself. You know, I'm a scout like everybody else, and so we're all trying to work on our craft, do different things, go at a question a little bit different than we normally do, to see how that would work out. Certainly, there in this day and age, there's a lot of different avenues of rating players and analytical thoughts, processes, and that sort of thing. So we experiment in some of that stuff. So far, we kind of go back to the, is the guy a good player after watching film?